program was recorded earlier.
Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help. I'm Jeff Oliver here with author and speaker June Hunt. Well, tonight in the studio we have a special guest, an American former professional football player, Bob Sletter, sprinter, mixed martial artist, played college football for the University of Georgia, and earned All-American honors three times, won the 1982 Heisman Trophy, began a professional football career with the New Jersey Generals of the USFL, and then joined the NFL with the Dallas Cowboys, played for the Minnesota Vikings, Philadelphia Eagles, and New York Giants, and then came back home to Dallas to play with the Cowboys again, retired from professional football in 97, and so inducted also into the College Football Hall of Fame in 99. So now, number 34, Herschel Walker.
Well, Herschel, it's great to have you here. I think that those numbers on your jersey, 34, are very special to you, and rightly so.
Yes.
Not that others don't have them. In fact, they're a lot of times boys, especially girls, who can love football, and they'll get your number and wear your jersey, at least the jersey number.
Yes.
And that means there's been something special in your life. Now, I listened to what Jeff said, that intro, and the logical thing would be, wow, he was a young athlete. I mean, he must have been phenomenal as a kid, and had all this tutoring and mentoring and all these people, coaches coming around you when you were very, very young, because that does happen.
Yes.
How about that for reality?
Well, it didn't happen like that for me.
No.
No. I didn't grow up in a household that was a sports household. I grew up in a Christian home, in a home that parents believe in working and doing your very best. And I think just athletic was something that came up in my life that, you know, I learned from my mom and dad that if you do anything, you try to do it well.
Mm.
So I went out and tried to do the best I could, and maybe I could have done better, who knows. But you know, I went out and just worked, and that's what I did. Yeah.
Well, as I know your story, and you've been a part of our ministry when we did this Ride for Reconciliation, and you impacted so many people on that trip, and you know, we have many things in common. And what I love is there's a humility about you, because you didn't have all the glamour early on. In fact, you had just the opposite. It was a type of feeling where you felt less than.
Yes.
And you had a speech impediment. And, you know, did somebody take time with you to help you with that?
Well, I think I was blessed to have a mom and dad that made me feel good about just being me. My mom, instead of me being called fat, she said I was big bone.
Okay.
And, you know, I had a speech impediment where the kids at school made fun of me, and it was very, very difficult at school. But when I got home, even though I had a big, big family, but they never made fun of me. They loved me for who I was, and so it was sort of like going into a house that you came home that had great positive reinforcement, and going to school where it was a very negative reinforcement for me. But, you know, that's a part of life.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get knocked down sometime.
You know, when kids make fun of you, and when you're called retarded, called names, name-calling, that really, for kids, it batters your sense of worth. And it's understandable to shut down.
It is. And that's what's so amazing. You're going to shut down. Like 4 years of my life, I never went out for a recess. Four years of my life, I never went outside to play. You know, I stayed in the classroom, sort of in a corner. And I don't think some of my classmates even knew I could talk because I was so afraid of everything. And you know, I always say that my mom used to say sometimes, man will make things for bad, and God can turn it for good.
Oh, yes.
Because some things changed after being bullied by a kid and being beat up. You know, that's when my life changed. I just got tired of it.
Well, when you have an area that you look at other kids and you see them excel, how can they speak so well? And why am I stammering? And, you know, I am not a smooth speaker myself. And yet I know it was more poignant for you. And you literally, I love part of your story. You decided to do something about it to the best of your ability. You would do tongue twisters.
Yes.
And, you know, like, she sells
seashells by the seashore.
And then you,
over and over.
And you decided, that's determination. Did you hear somebody make that suggestion?
You know, it was sort of like something that I came up on my own, that you can't feel that have excuses in life. Mm-hmm. You know, I kept feeling sorry for myself, and I knew you can't do that. You got to get up and got to start doing something.
Mm-hmm. Well, you did something, and of course, it didn't help that the teachers didn't understand. They put you in a corner, and you were told you couldn't learn.
Yes.
They assumed you could not learn.
Yes,
now,
assumption.
I think any kid can learn some things, and you build on that. Well, I'd like to understand, and there are people right now who are identifying with you. They say, that's me. That part of that story is mine. Help us know what to do.
Do you have a heart for people who are hurting and broken? You want to throw them a lifeline, but sometimes you just don't know how. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new one-of-its-kind caregiver training designed just for you. Using video-based instruction from leading experts, plus relevant case studies and interactive exercises, you can discover how to effectively provide support, encouragement, and spiritual care. The ultimate goal is to connect lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. This 10-week Lifeline to Hope program can train and deploy a small, effective group of caregivers in your church and community. Be the person in your church that brings together caregivers to become better equipped to meet the hurting. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. Lifelinetohope.org.
In these challenging times, millions are suffering with more stress, anxiety, and fear due to the unknowns a global pandemic can bring to daily life. What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear is a free download from Hope for the Heart. You'll discover what Scripture says on these issues and see how God cares about the struggles we face in life. Simply go to hopefortheheart.org/COVID to download your free resource titled, What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear. It's quick and easy to get your digital copy of this free resource that is filled with hope for these troubling times. That title again is What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear? You can find it at hopefortheheart.org/COVID. That's hopefortheheart.org/COVID.
You are listening to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver. We'll get back to our special guest in a moment. Our care teams are ready to take your calls now at 800-488-HOPE. They can help guide you to God's hope through our resources. And they'd like to pray with you also. We want to recommend Keys for Living called Bullying, Bullied No More. And you can get that resource again. The number is 800-488-4673. If you have a particular situation in your life you'd like to speak with June about on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT-17. Just call and follow the prompts, leave us a good message, and we'll get back to you to schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night. That's 800-NIGHT-17, 800-644-4817. And it's back to you, June.
Herschel Walker, you know, when you've lived certain elements of life that are painful. There are a lot of people who can identify, and many times they've not spoken about it. And I remember when I was asked by a large entity to speak for some educational conventions, they one day said, "We want you to speak on bullying." And I spoke a number of times on this topic, and I learned that there are three demographics. There are the bullies, the bullied, and the bystander. And it's very difficult when you are the bully, because it batters the sense of value. And I know you had said earlier, because I looked this up, that you hated yourself. You didn't know, you didn't like how you looked or sounded, and that you would give a quarter, your quarter that was supposed to be for food that day, you gave that quarter for snacks to other kids just to try to make friends. And yet you felt that you were a kid nobody wanted to play with. Now, think about that compared to all being a Heisman Trophy winner, all these things. And see, people look at the accolades, but they can miss the pain in the heart of a boy where you know you felt so less than. You weren't, but treated that way.
Yes.
That sense of bullying, when did that start?
Well, you know, I always say that everyone know the glory, but they don't know the whole story, that we all have a story. And I said it started when I first started in the first grade.
Mm.
But I must say that I didn't feel good about me, the way I carried myself. Being normally at that time, you know, kids are, and I don't know whether kids are very, they meant to be like that, but they're going to pick on the weakest one.
Mm-hmm.
And I carried myself as being weak, not having confidence. I had my head down the whole time. And because of my speech, I wouldn't talk. So they never felt that I could talk. And then being overweight, you know, kids always going to make fun of a kid that was overweight. So I didn't love Herschel Walker. I didn't love Herschel. I didn't like anything about me because that's what kids told me I was. And then what was strange enough is I was going through this sort of at school, at one personality, going home in a totally different personality. But because I was feeling good about myself at home, I think it made things okay because I knew that there were some people that loved me there. And for having a great brothers and sisters and parents that kept me in that positive reinforcement, the problem was going to school where not only did I have the kids putting me down, but the teachers not having confidence in me either. But at the same time, I got to take some of the blame on myself because I didn't carry myself enough to have confidence to say, no, I am somebody.
I'm gonna oppose what you just said. There's no blame for you.
Right.
I mean, I call it survival.
Yes.
You were trying to survive. And the way to survive that you thought is look down instead of making yourself more vulnerable to attack. So, you know, I hear what you're saying, that bullies look for people they can bully.
Right.
Manipulators look for people they can manipulate. Controllers look for people they can control. And, you know, this is why we need insightful parents, leaders,
yes,
teachers who understand that dynamic, that when a kid is always looking down, God didn't create us just to look down.
No.
That means you're trying to hide, you're trying to protect yourself. And so, my friend, all you do is endear my heart to you because, you know, rejection is a common denominator for many of us. And there are reasons why I was rejected, reasons why you were rejected. But praise God that there are at times a few people, maybe one person here, who sees the promise within. Your mom was very yielded to the Lord.
Oh, yes, yes.
And still is.
Yes.
And that makes a difference because she believed in you. But it's hard then when you go into this other world over here of kids, of school, and doesn't seem like others are really helping you because they don't know how. And I think normally teachers are better than that, but, you know, we can't choose the teachers, and there are times when they don't know, they haven't been trained what to do.
Well, you know, one of the things I said is, and I try to talk to the kids today, and I say, you know, you got to look up to go up. Mm. You know, with me looking down all the time, I'm never going to go anywhere but down, because that's the way I'm going to look at myself. So I got to look up to go up, and you got to know that. And I tell people, my mom told me this, and my father told me this, that as long as you got Jesus, who else do you need?
Mm.
As long as you have a faith, who else do you need? Mm-hmm. Because man is, they're going to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to make mistakes, but Jesus is faithful.
Yes.
And I remember when my mom first told me about Jesus, and I'm thinking, who in the world is this strange guy?
Mm-hmm.
And as I told her to have my Sunday shoes to go to church, she said, Jesus don't care how you look. And I'm thinking, who in the world is this guy? I don't care how I look. And when I started reading about him, he was a perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And what was strange about it, he didn't care what color you are, he didn't care about this. He loved you for you. And he had you to be perfect for you.
Yes.
And I said that was my problem is, and I tell kids, don't look down, look up, because mm-hmm. you're somebody. You're a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and I'm not saying I'm blaming me, I'm saying what I should have done is been okay. Because as I look back today, and I look back at myself, I say, you know, I'm glad I was bullied. And people said, what do you mean? I said, no, I am. I'm glad I was bullied, because I look back and I said, we go through these tough times in life.
Mm-hmm.
And tough times make tough people. And God may have had a plan for me to go through that to make me stronger for what he has for me in store for me right now.
Yeah, and you can identify with
yes.
those who are hurting.
Yes.
And that is, the Bible says, weep with those who weep. Mourn with those who mourn. The Bible talks about having compassion. And, you know, sympathy is kind of patting someone on the head, saying, oh, I'm sorry you're hurt.
No, yes.
That's not the same. Empathy says, I'll hurt with you.
I'll hurt with you.
You can do that. Compassion says, I'll hurt with you, and I'll stick around until the hurt is gone.
Yes, and you said something that just resonated with me, because, you know, it not just I'm in football today. You know, for the last 12 years, I've been on a military base.
Mm.
I've been on a military base with our young men and women of service. And I see just what they do for this country.
Mm.
I see some of them that are hurting.
Mm-hmm.
That I can go in there, and you're right, I can cry with them, because
yeah.
I know where they're at. I know what's going on.
You can,
I can feel
it
with
too.
Them. I can feel
mm-hmm.
with them. And I don't know if I could have done that if I hadn't came through mm-hmm. where I came.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that may have been the plan God has that he leading me to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because being an athlete, sometimes you get full of yourself. You think you're better than what you really are. But I went through this as a little kid, that I know that I'm no better than anyone else. I don't care if I win a Heisman Trophy, so what? But it wasn't me. I don't care if I win this. All this is, I'm going to lay at my Lord Jesus Christ's feet and say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it means absolutely nothing. What means what I got in my heart, what I'm doing for
mm-hmm.
others. I said, I built my bridge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is time for me to reach back and help other people to build theirs, because it's not about me. God didn't make this world about me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to help others in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I said, if I have not gone through that,
yes,
I may not be where I'm at today to help others.
Yes.
Because I may not have been able to cry when I need to cry with them, been
mm-hmm.
sensitive to understand,
mm-hmm.
or to tell a young man that's being bullied to say, you know, it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can promise you, because I've been there.
Yeah. I've been there, done that.
I've been there,
yeah.
And I know
yeah.
this, because you can't tell someone. And I said, the worst thing for Herschel Walker to do is to try to tell something that I don't know that I've been.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But and I tell this story, people know that, you know, I've lived with homeless.
Mm-hmm.
But I had all the money in the world, but I had a mental problem. People don't want to talk about it. I had a
mm-hmm.
mental problem, not an alcohol problem. I never drank. Not a drug problem. I never taken a drug. I had a mental problem. And it wasn't from a concussion. had nothing to do with concussion. It was a mental problem, but people have demonized mental health that now people hide it. They're afraid to even talk about it. But I tell people this, and people don't like to hear it, we all have a mental problem. We all fall short of the glory of God. But what happens if we get so keen into ourselves that we don't want to hear about those faults that we have? Well, I'm not perfect. But for the first time in my life, I can tell you I love Herschel Walker. You know, for years, I couldn't say that. This is when I was winning Heisman Trophies. This is when I was winning, being on an Olympic team. This is when I was doing all those great things. I can never say I love Herschel Walker. But going to understand this, getting help to be able to people to show me this, I can say that today. And that's why I said it, you know, being bullied didn't just wake me up. It got me up.
Because that means that you are able to see, here's the pain, but there's pain with a purpose. Pain with a purpose. Go back to when you were eighth grade and last day of school. Describe that situation.
You know, it was very difficult, and I still can remember this time like it was yesterday. But, you know, for years, I've not gone out for recess. I've not done anything. And I decided, hey, why don't I go out for recess? Maybe I can get some people to play with me. You know, I've been giving them my quarter this whole time. Why they don't talk to me? And I remember going outside, and there was a kid by the name of Anthony Logan. As soon as I get outside, there's a crowd of kids around. And as soon as I get outside, he jumped on me, and he beat me up. And I remember, you know, and I wouldn't really fight back. I don't know if I fought back. Maybe I could have worn. I don't know. But he beat me. I remember just crying. And it was almost at the end of school. And people just thought it was so funny. They thought it was so funny that this fat kid was crying. And I even remember getting on the bus. And they laughed. And they laughed. And I went home. And it made me feel bad until something came to me and said, enough is enough.
Enough is enough. And there was a turnaround. And there were certain things you did that are amazing. This is going to be inspirational because you could not help the situation you were in at the time. No one wants to be bullied. No one wants to be beaten up, belittled, and laughed at. And that ridicule is just hurts your heart. It stabs you to the core. But for you to say enough is enough, there is some specific action that you took.
Yes.
It's not hitting other kids. It's not retaliation. But it was fascinating. I can't wait for you to share your true story when we come back.
Addiction, abuse, violence, grief and loss, depression and suicide, marital and family stress. These are only some of the problems the church faces today. As a pastor, you may feel overwhelmed with the needs of those in your church and community. As a first responder within your faith community, how do you manage the crisis around you? Imagine raising up those in your church to come alongside you, helping you meet the needs of hurting people. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new, one-of-its-kind caregiver training program for your church. This 10-week video-based program can train and deploy a small, effective group of caregivers and help you launch a dynamic caregiving ministry. Equip your church to connect lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. lifelinetohope.org.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer. Usually, they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God Himself, and He's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-4817.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Oliver, and you are listening to Hope in the Night, a ministry of hope for the heart. And we are here because of your generous support of the ministry and your prayers as well. We thank you for that. If you have questions or concerns about rejection, you can call the Care Center now at 800-488-HOPE, and they can guide you to the keys for living called Rejection, Healing the Wounded Heart. Also, we have Bullying, Bullied No More, and they can help you access those resources. The number again is 800-488-4673. You may also email customercare@hopefortheheart.org. That's customercare@hopefortheheart.org with any questions regarding topics and resources discussed in tonight's program. Now let's get back to the conversation with Herschel Walker.
You know, Herschel, as you think about your life and you look at times when there were decisions you made, and you think this was a major decision, and you had just been beaten up, you've just been bullied, kids laughing at you, at the end of your eighth grade year, there are those who would literally want to end their lives. And that actually is normal. There are many kids. It's tragic because they don't say, I want to commit suicide. Yes. They just say, I just want the pain to stop. I just want the pain to stop. And they figure out something to do. If they can get their hands on pills, yes, a gun, whatever it is. And tragically, many times they're successful. And yet, you certainly had all of the setups for that. But you made a decision to do something that, you know, you think, wait a minute, is this what all kids could do? Could they reframe their future or reframe their present right then, yes, and there? Because you knew, yeah, you were chubby and, you know, you weren't an athlete. You know, people go, what do you mean he's not an athlete? How could he possibly have all these accolades that are phenomenal? Heisman Trophy is the ultimate as a junior in college. You know, you sit there and think, but surely. And so people are listening right now. Okay, explain what God led you to do.
Well, I said my father led me to start working out. And what I mean by that is, had nothing to do with the kids. It had to do with Herschel feeling good about myself. I was overweight, using excuses, and, you know, I love to eat, mm-hmm, the food I was eating, so I love to eat. So I started working out. I started going to the library, getting books, because I was afraid to read in a classroom. I sit in front of a mirror, read to myself over and over and over. Mm. And he led me to stop feeling sorry for myself. Because that's what I was doing the whole time. I was feeling sorry for myself. So he led me to change that attitude. It had nothing to do with the other kids. I didn't care what the kids, they could have called me a musclehead. I didn't really care, mm-hmm, but those words were not going to hurt me anymore. I was going to start loving what I was, being who I was, being secure who I was, and that's what he led me to do.
And you're checking out books on even bodybuilding.
Yes.
So it's not just reading Jack and Jill Went Up the Hill. It's literally trying to figure out what would help me and for my future.
To be better.
And to be the person God created me to be. And then you started running. Now, this is amazing. Where was this train track? And where was you did something fascinating because you trained by racing the train.
Yes, in front of my parents' home, they lived up on a hill a little bit, and down at the bottom of the hill, there was a train track. Uh-huh. So during the summer, I knew at a certain time, like about, it would come twice, like in the mornings, it would come about 10 in the morning, and then afternoon, it comes back the other way about 6:30. Mm-hmm. So I would meet the train at a certain point, and I was take off and try to beat it to the other end. And for years, I couldn't get, you know, it was always beating me. Not for years, but for weeks, mm-hmm, that train would beat me. Mm-hmm. It would beat me. And sooner or later, I got where I get ahead of it. And I started beating the train a little bit. And then like I said, it had nothing to do with what the kids were doing to me, mm-hmm, but it had to do with what I felt about me. because I had to feel better about who I was.
It was a potential that God had for you.
Yes.
Because he made you. You know, I love the scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, where he says, I know the plans I have for you.
Yes.
Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Every kid needs that.
Yes.
Every adult needs that. And so he literally knew what one day you would become in terms of an NFL star and yes. all these things.
Now, but he had to prepare me. And that's what I tell people. He had to prepare me. So that's the reason I say the bullying was a part mm-hmm. of him preparing me to get ready to come to where I'm at today. And he's still preparing me. It's not over yet. He's still preparing me. And that's what I try to explain to people. Guys, I wouldn't change anything because he's prepared me as I go into my daily life.
Well, one thing I know about you is I could identify in a way. I decided I would do sit-ups. And I remember when I kept doing that and I would increase. And I remember when I got to 100 and then it got to be no big deal. Just, you know, I could make it to 100. I think you beat me on that one.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Why don't you tell what happened when you were doing your sit-ups and push-ups?
Well, you know, I used to love television. And so that was the reason I probably was overweight. I'm on the couch eating Bun Buns and then watching Gilligan Island. So during commercial breaks, I would get on all night long. I'd do as many push-ups I can do and many sit-ups I can do. And a commercial number lasts anywhere between 2.5 to 4 minutes. So I knew how long I can do push-ups and sit-ups. So during the summer, I was doing about 5,000 push-ups every day, about 5,000 sit-ups every day. Mm-hmm. My parents had a tree in the backyard. I used to climb this tree and do chin-ups on this tree limb.
Wow.
And, you know, I started running. My father worked on sort of a farm, mm-hmm. and he would go out and plow these fields. I'd get out in these fields, and I would run, and I would run, and I would run. And you know, and what was strange is sort of like having faith, it made me feel and believe I was better. I'm not going to say I was better than anyone else, but it made me feel good mm-hmm. about me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I tell people, you got to love you because God has made you. You're a child of God. So why would you say that porcelain that he made of you, you don't like?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I had to understand. That fat little kid, well, he was cool. I just had to understand he was a cool dude. I just didn't like him. So that was on me.
Well, there are circumstances that push us down, and how you're treated is... It does make a difference.
But that's man treating us that. And that's what was so sad. I was worried about what man was doing
mm-hmm,
to me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that's what made a difference, where I had to forget about what man was doing.
Yeah, and so, you know, you definitely beat me on the number of sit-ups. But 5,000, you know, push-ups, you know, sit-ups, you know, that's phenomenal because you had determination. Now you had a goal, and you continued. You know, when you use the word love means the agape love that's in the Bible is a commitment to seek the highest good of another person. Well, for you to say you now are able to love yourself, it's a commitment to seek God's highest good for you. And therefore, if you are seeking what is God's highest and best, that is love. And so some people think it's love can be cocky and prideful and that is not you.
Yes.
That, I mean, I know that's not you. And so what you're seeing is a transformation that occurred because, you know, truthfully, you weren't in sports, and yet now here's this guy who's getting muscles on his muscles.
Wow.
And a high school football coach notices you, and what did you say? Well, how did that all come about?
Well, you know, what was strange is it was a guy by the name of Tom Jordan, and he coached my two older brothers. I was very, very good athletes. And I was this I always said, Teletubbies little kid. He said, well, he may have something. And so I remember he used to have, he had confidence in me. He had more confidence in me than I had in myself.
See, that's what's so amazing. That's huge.
And that's what's so amazing. And like my parents, they had confidence in me than I had in myself, even my little brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember something happened that sort of hurt me. And I still think about it today, and it hurts today.
What was that?
And I remember because my younger brother used to know that the kids used to make fun of me.
Mm-hmm.
That they had a race at the end of the school year in the seventh grade,
mm-hmm.
that you get out and you run this mile race.
Mm-hmm.
And I was overweight, and so I wanted to try to win this mile and make the kids like me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went out, and after school, I would go out and I'd try to train a little bit to win this mile. And my little brother Lorenzo used to be out there with me, and we call ourselves training. And the day of the race came, and as I was running in the race, I've been training. No little 7-year-old kid ever trained to try to do this and stuff. And as I was running, something just entered my mind that I was not going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm up front. I'm not going to win. I'm not going to win. And I end up quitting in the last lap. And I was in second place. I end up just quitting. I was overweight. No one ever thought I'd ever do it. But when I got home, my younger brother asked me, how did I do? And I lied to him. I told him I hurt myself.
Mm-hmm.
Which wasn't the truth. And at that time, which plays into me as an eighth grader, is I said, I never quit at anything I ever do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one thing I always did before. I quit. You know, they called me a name. I go to the classroom. I quit.
Cower.
And I said that I've never quit at anything I ever set out to do again. And I think that played a big role. And like I said, I think that's God preparing me to where I had to go to today.
Yeah.
Because I had to go through that to get to where I'm at today.
You know, when you talked about this coach, isn't it amazing when a coach can see potential that you can't see, and then he ignites that fire, and he helps you understand how to discipline your life. And you're doing a lot of things. You're doing these push-ups and sit-ups and chin-ups, and you know, and yet, there still is a crafting of you. So was he was the football coach, correct?
Yes, football and track and field.
Well, you are fast.
Yes.
But that's because you trained running after trains.
Yes.
And but how logical that is. You know, God had prepared you. You weren't knowing what he was preparing you for. But what's fascinating is then as you entered the football world, you were not only very fast, and that means, and you know, you played offense and defense, and so they needed you both, but speed is huge for tackles.
Oh, yes.
And so you averaged 15 tackles a game. But what's amazing is you became the valedictorian of your class in your senior year. I bet many people, their jaws dropped. Even teachers who had no idea that there was this potential. God knew your potential, and he hadn't given up on you, and your parents hadn't given up on you, which is a huge indicator of what parents need to do. But then also that coach who saw the potential in a Herschel Walker, he had no idea how far you could go either. But for God, he literally had the plan. So we're going to hear some fascinating results.
Yes. Caregivers come from different backgrounds, education, and experience, but they all have one thing in common, a desire to help those who are hurting. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new caregiver training offered by Hope for the Heart. This 10-week video-based program can help you deploy a small, effective group of caregivers in your church. Biblical caregivers who can help meet the needs of hurting people. Connecting lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. This comprehensive training shows the biblical model for caregiving and includes sessions on effective listening, crisis intervention, family dynamics, having a ministry of presence, and more. Proverbs 11:14 reminds us that where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. lifelinetohope.org.
Do
Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver. We want to help you, and we want to help you to help others. Our care teams are ready to take your calls at 800-488-HOPE. They can guide you to God's hope through our resources, and they'd love to pray with you as well. Check out the Keys for Living called Bullying, Bullied No More. Also, Rejection, Healing the Wounded Heart. And you can get those resources in your hands as you call us at 800-488-4673. And again, if you'd like to get in touch with the program to speak about a situation going on in your life and you'd like to talk with June Hunt about that, call us at 800-917 and leave a good message for us, and we'll get right back to schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night. The number again, 800-917 or 800-644-4817. Let's return to our conversation with Herschel Walker.
Well, my friend, what I'm hearing in your story is... You went from a kid being put by teachers in a corner to being valedictorian before the whole school. You went from actually feeling like an outcast. Feelings are powerful. They can be powerfully negative. You went from feeling like an outcast to the number one football recruit in America, where every college wanted Herschel Walker because your talent, what you were able to do, there was a transformation. And I know that you at one time had wanted to go into the Marines because you wanted to kill people. You know, anger, a lot of people don't understand anger. Anger is not the problem. Anger is the result of one of four causes: hurt, injustice, fear, and frustration. And my friend, it sounded to me as though you had all four.
Yes.
Hurt, injustice, fear, and frustration.
Yes.
And you flipped a coin. Talk about flipping that coin and what happened.
Well, you know, I wanted to decide whether to go to Georgia, go to college, or go to the military, go to the Marines. Mm-hmm. And my mom told me something. She said, you know, boy, if your heart is pure of the Lord Jesus, no matter what decision you make, God will make it right for you.
Mm.
And that's when I flipped the coin and ended up going to college, which could have been a blessing. And I tell people this because if I had gone off to the Marines at that time, that anger I had would have never been dealt with, because mm-hmm. I would have been coping with what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But going to college, it continued my education, but it also let me deal with other things that I had to mature to get to the level I'm at today.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so God, and as my mom said too, God is always leading you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes he leaves his light on, and you know, sometimes we get wandering in the forest, but God's light is always on. We just got to look up and we can see it, mm-hmm. and we got to go in his direction rather than our own.
Well, you know, the Georgia Bulldogs, they have a winning history.
Yes.
They're strong in football. And I know you would think I would know nothing, but there were a fearsome foursome that I had a brother and two male cousins and me, and we were the fearsome foursome. And I could actually throw a spiral, and girls typically don't do that, but I loved doing that, and so I would just throw spirals. But, you know, that was a time actually when I felt so inadequate, and the one thing I wanted for Christmas was my own football. Oh. And I begged my grandmother, please, please. And finally, she gave it to me, and I put on green paint, June. I put my name.
Yes.
I mean, but do you understand? Here I am. I'm not going to be an athlete like you, but somehow that was my identity at that time. I could throw a spiral football. Yes. And what that means is so many kids, their identity is in what they can do physically. And yet that doesn't solve the deepest part of the void on the inside.
But I'm going to tell you something that is going to freak you out. I never looked at myself as an athlete.
Huh.
Even today, people say, you are a great athlete. I said, no. I just competed well.
Hmm.
Like in the classroom, I was valedictorian, but I was not the smartest. I just competed well.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, as an athlete, I learned that no matter whatever I ever do, I'm going to do it at my hardest. I don't care if I was a trash collector.
Wow.
I'm going to be the best darn trash collector you can ever see. And that's why I tell myself, I don't know whether I was an athlete, but I can compete. Because whatever I show up at, I'm going to be ready.
Mm-hmm. Well, you prepared yourself.
Yes.
To make yourself available to whatever God wanted you to do and to become. So what was the turning point of dealing with the anger?
Well, the turning point happened I was going through a divorce. I had gotten out of football, and I didn't really believe in divorce. That's not in my family. That's not what I believed. Mm-hmm. I believed in. So I was going through a divorce, and I didn't understand it. And, you know, I was out of that physical sporting and all that competing. And so everybody got on my nerve.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was getting on my nerve. I didn't drink, so that wasn't a coping mechanism I had. And my anger was to hurt people because, you know, I was hurt as a little kid. And I remember almost injuring a young man over nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, whoa, something wrong with me. And I remember going back to my wife at the time, and I asked her, and she said, you know, I know it is. And I said, what are you talking about? And she said, well, you've been totally changing over months. Well, that's when I was getting out of football. She said, you haven't heard me. You don't even listen to me. You even look different. And I went, whoa. And we started searching for a doctor for me. But first we went to the church, and I'm not going to name the churches. And, you know, sometimes ministers think they're more closer than God than you are, but I'm going to tell everybody they're not. God may punish them more because they're supposed to be leading his sheep, but they're not doing it in the right way. But anyway, but this minister did the wrong thing because he was going to do an exorcist with me. And I ended up finding a doctor that diagnosed me having DID, and dissociative identity disorder.
And what that means is because of trauma, it's always because of trauma, age 7 or younger, and they're amid severe trauma.
Yes.
And then the brain splits off so that there is a part.
Yes.
Some people call them personalities, but there's one personality here or part, and they have distinct characteristics, all different, you know. And many people don't know about that, but all that says to me is, Severe woundedness.
But then you have to come to an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And what I understood, and try to put it more in simple terms, you left home with the wrong hat on. And I had to get people that were professionals to help me to understand what was really happening. Well, what really happened is as a little kid, I was bullied.
Mm-hmm.
I had enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't deal with it as the fat little kid, so I became this Incredible Hulk person.
Okay.
So I went through life as this Incredible Hulk person, but I never dealt with the pain by telling my parents or telling them what happened to me. So I used it as my coping mechanism. Like some people may use alcohol, they may use drugs, they may use cutting, or they may use anger as a coping mechanism. So that's what I use as my coping mechanism. And they hide it because they don't want no one to know that they're in pain, because when you're in pain and you're hiding it, you know, people are, you know, And then you diagnose as a mental problem, people think you're different now because they demonize it on television. But then I had to tell people, you know, we all fall short of the glory of God, mm-hmm. that we all have problems. Some of them are more severe than others. So that's why the military became so, so close to me, because as I got to the military, which, remember, I wanted to go to the Marines,
yes.
God brought me back around to the military.
Explain that life now.
Well, what was strange is, you know, I was very fortunate to build a business. I built a Renaissance Man food business. And when I went through my diagnosis of DID and got help and started feeling better, I wrote a book called Herschel Walker, My Life with Dissociative Identity Disorder.
Mm.
And I took the proceeds from that book and invested it into mental health hospitals. Well, I was bought by the largest hospital group in the world. But I had a program at that time called Patriot Support, where it worked with military soldiers, men and women. So I started working with them that every 3 weeks. I was at a base to remove that stigma of mental health. And one thing I wanted to tell people about our military men and women, you know, what's strange is we send our young men and women that's born in the United States of America, the greatest country in the world,
mm-hmm. yes.
that may not grow up around hearing a bomb go off, or may not grow up around hearing mm-hmm. gunshots, but yet we send them over to a country that every night you hear a bomb go mm-hmm. off, you hear gunshots, or you may mm-hmm. have to go out and see things or
yes.
see your friends destroyed. And some people can handle that and some people can't. But those that can't handle it, people say, oh, you're mentally crazy, you got a problem. Well, no, they don't. They don't. All it is I said, it's God's got an angel taking care of you. Because normally, you would destroy yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But no. He said, no. I'm going to help you get through it. But when you get home, you got to help yourself, too. I'm just going to help you get there. And so I said, that's what happened to me. Because, you know, one of the things that people don't even know about Herschel Walker, you know, I used to play Russian roulette. People said, you were trying to kill yourself. No.
Wow.
I was never trying to kill myself. Mm. I said, but I was so bold in competition that I said, I can do anything. And even though I'm a Christian, but I said, I still had my faults. And I said, but what happened is I had to have someone to help me to understand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I said, God takes you through this funnel.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to pay attention. And that's what I had to do.
Herschel, in our remaining minutes, a scripture that would be very, very significant to you would be what?
I think John 3:16. And the reason I say that is, unless you're born again of the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot receive the kingdom of heaven, because people think being born again is like just doing good deeds.
Mm-mm.
They think being born again is just, oh, I give to him, or mm-hmm. I do these good mm-hmm. deeds, or I go to church every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, God, that's not it. You got to give up that whole life you used to do. You can't do that whole thing you used to do. And you got to know that the Lord is real, even through faith.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but
yes.
have everlasting life. And that word believe means to rely upon, to trust in.
Trust
so
in.
You're saying the key for you has been to entrust your whole life to the Lord and let him take over. Is
yes.
that correct?
Yeah, I know he lives.
Yeah.
The Lord Jesus lives. And I tell people he is real. And I have the faith that I know he's real. That and today, I said, guys, I won't turn my back on my Lord Jesus.
Mm.
Because I won't separate.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in together.
Yeah. I've seen you on multiple telecasts where you're asked to come speak because of trauma in our country. And you present the positive message of how to literally make a difference in our world and not be typecast and not go with what is culturally accepted when it's wrong.
Yes.
There are things that are wrong. Thank you for helping us consider we don't have to stay where we are.
Yes.
We need to become who God created us to be for the future and to benefit the world. I think you benefit the world truly, and I pray God's blessing on you. And I'm going to ask our our listening audience, pray for Herschel Walker's ministry, a ministry meaning wherever he is, he's going to speak the truth and uplift the country as well as Jesus Christ. God bless you. Thank you.
We want to recommend several resources from tonight's program. And the first, Bullying, Bullied No More. Also, Identity and Self-Image, Knowing What's True About You. These keys for living will be helpful for you. And you can get in touch with us and order them for yourself by calling the Hope Care representatives at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. And our materials and past programs are available on the website at hopefortheheart.org. That's hopefortheheart.org. Also, check out the broadcast app. It is called Hope for the Heart, and it's a free download for you. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.